Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Guys, welcome back to part two with Sky Watterson, the ADHD strategist and founder of Unconventional Organization. If you missed part one, pause this and go back. We talk about how to prioritize when everything feels urgent and the power of understanding your brain instead of fighting it. Sky, welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Today, we're going to be focused on those systems that we teased in the last episode, the kind that actually work for ADHD minds. And I'm really psyched myself because I've struggled with so many systems. I have trouble making lists, and I'll start a reminders list and I'll forget to check in, or I'll start a board where you're going to have things on the wall and, oh, I forgot that I was following this system. There's so many things that are distracting us. So I can't wait to learn about the system that you've been working with a lot of your clients, and it is actually helping them bring that rhythm up. So talk to us. What are the most common mistakes? Yeah, so let's go into what are those systems that actually work for ADHD minds?
Yeah, definitely. The biggest systems that we need to look at are, how do we focus ourselves? So you said our task list. How do we focus our business so we actually know how money is coming into our business and we don't go off and build three new shiny things that connect to nothing and no one is managing? And then how do we understand and focus our revenue so we actually know which parts of the data are important to focus on and which ones are actually leading to financial stability for us, because we need to have that financial stability at the end of the day.
No, you're 100% right. We do need that financial stability. We do need to know how we're going to keep on moving forward, because we see all these other entrepreneurs making it really well. What am I missing? Why can't I compete with them? Talk to me what are some of the most common mistakes you see ADHD entrepreneurs make when setting up these systems?
Yeah, so there's a couple of pieces. One is they go with traditional business systems. Like, so many traditional business systems are amazing and people have obviously been really helped by them. But I work with a lot of people who come to me having spent tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars on processes that they were told were the correct ones. Mm. They felt, oh, it worked for someone, it worked for someone, so I should probably do it. But they knew deep down they were never, ever going to double check this system again. And that tends to be what happens. It goes into the box. It gets left in the dust because it's not built for your ADHD brain. It's not supporting working memory and dopamine and time blindness and all of those things. So that's the number one thing, I would say.
So they're using systems that are designed for other types of brains, not the ADHD brain.
Exactly.
And that's why it's in misalignment. Yeah. So that's why it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's almost you're trying to put on shoes that are too big or shoes in the wrong foot.
Exactly. You can walk in them. It's uncomfortable and everyone else is trying to go up a hill and you're still just trying to figure out how to get across the ground. So this was what tends to happen. And when you build systems that actually work for your brain, you feel the sense of calm. It's really because, you know, it starts to work for you entirely. It starts to work for you without feeling difficult, without that added layer of executive functioning and dopamine difficulty that you're often experiencing if you use traditional methods that require a bunch of things that you don't even know that you don't have.
I love that. Now, if someone's in that feast or famine cycle, how do you help them find a sustainable moment? Because yes, a lot of the times you're like, okay, I'm using this system, it's working for them. How do we overcome this?
Yeah, this is the 6-7-figure question, right?
Yeah.
But it's very true. So one of the things we do is we build out a focus filter, which we talked about in the last episode. Make sure you get focused so you're not running around responding to everybody's crises and not building momentum. And then from there, what we do is we go, okay, now you know what you need to do. Now we need to figure out how to do it, even when you don't want to do it. And this is really crucial for ADHD, because a lot of people will say, I know what to do, but I can't do it. It's a secret shame that a lot of people with ADHD will experience, will put things off for ages. So the first thing you want to do, I assume you guys want me to just tell you the secrets, right? Make it.
Oh, please, please. We would love the secrets. Let's take it away.
Perfect. So the first thing you want to do is you actually want to go ahead. You want to give yourself a reward for starting the task. This is very specific. It is something that you can do in the place that you're starting the task. So it's not on the couch or somewhere else and you're going to get to it later. It's in the place you're starting the task. And it's something that has a natural end point. So you're not going to be stuck doing it forever. Don't pick TikTok. And the key reason for this is because of something called dopamine transfer deficit theory, which is essentially a theory. And they've had a few looks at how this works with animals and things like that to justify this theory. This idea is basically that when you look at the brain with ADHD, we don't get a little dopamine spike at the beginning of a hard task attached to a reward you're going to have at the end of it. Everybody else gets this little dopamine boost that says, hey, this is going to be amazing because at the end you're going to have a break, you're going to hang out with your friends, you're going to do this other thing, and that's going to be a reward for this work you're doing. That's why everybody says, give yourself a reward, you'll feel so much better. With ADHD, our brains don't give us that little boost. They just go, this is boring and I don't want to do it. And then at the end, they go, I'm glad I'm not doing that thing anymore. And that's it.
Yeah. There's no reward at the end of it because our brains are looking for the reward at the beginning of it. So we're hacking the system.
Exactly.
Say, hey, here's a reward for you to go do this thing.
Yeah. If you're neurotypical, your brain will naturally give yourself a little boost, because it will eventually connect, kind of like a Pavlov's dog situation. Mm. It will eventually connect the reward that you're going to get with the situation. So it'll actually give you a nice boost when you start, even more so than sometimes the reward at the end. Mm. With ADHD, that's not happening. So we need to give ourselves a reward. So it can be something like a nice beverage, maybe listen to a YouTube video or a podcast or something like that. Maybe I talk about sensory stacking specifically. So, you know, adding different sensory pieces together. And then from there, okay, now we've worked on the dopamine problems. This is a really good time to turn off distractions, by the way. But what you want to do after that is you actually want to grab a little piece of paper, a little post-it note, and you want to write down exactly what you're going to do during this period of time, because you might forget. You have working memory struggles. So we want to write it out like a recipe. What are you going to do? Who are you going to email? What are you going to review? All of those pieces. And it also gives you a bit of a time blindness hack as well, because when this piece of paper is full, it's probably time to stop thinking of things you're going to do during this period of time. You've probably run out. Although I will say, I am the kind of person who sometimes writes on the side of the post-it note. So, you know, we have all done that, but that's the kind of process that you're going through. You're stepping into focus. I have a few other steps I teach as well, but the whole concept is essentially taking you from slamming into a wall, trying to focus, and just pushing and pushing, and that's how you get to burnout, to stepping into focus. Takes you 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't have that resistance, that like internal painful feeling, and you get to do the task.
Wow. That's so true, because every time I come to work, and if I open my laptop or open my computer, whatever I left doing last, the screen, even though I have a different task in mind, I'm going to focus on working that task. I'm like, oh, I forgot I was doing this thing. And that's why we have hundreds of tabs open on our computers. Mm-hmm. As you start one thing, like, oh, let me go check this other thing because I need information for this thing. And you just go on down this rabbit hole. But I like when you have a post-it note. Now you can focus on, okay, did I do this one yet? Yes, I did it. Okay, now I got to go move on to the next recipe item.
Exactly. It very quickly gets you your time back. That's the thing. It very quickly, if you do those two things and you don't have another 5 to 10 hours of time in your week, then you need to talk to me because you were doing it wrong. Once you have that additional time back, then we can look at, okay, we're going to build out a visual system for you to understand your business. We're going to lock in how you work with your team, how you build a team, and we're going to make sure that your revenue system is really solid. So that's where the business strategies come in alongside the ADHD strategies. And that combination, that sort of nexus of business, ADHD, and accountability is where a lot of people really thrive.
Wow. Sky, this is really powerful. Now, do you have a client win that perfectly captures what's possible with the right approach?
Yeah, I do actually. I have a wonderful client who is quite a famous speaker, currently writing a book, and he has to do a lot of keynotes. And he used the Step Into Focus routine, the one I just started sharing with you. I taught it to him over a single session, and it allowed him to go from putting off doing the slides for keynotes, which is something that he was doing a lot of, to getting them done in actually half the time he estimated he was going to need consistently, and made a huge difference with his ability to focus and really plan out what he was going to be doing, because he had 30 keynotes that month.
Oh my God. 30 keynotes. That's a lot of number of keynotes. But if it were to be done in 1 month alone, it's almost like a keynote a day.
Yeah, it was a lot. And that was the thing, really understanding people will sometimes come and they'll be in the middle of a crisis. And often people will say, oh, I want to wait until I'm ready. And I'm like, this is it. We're going to ready, set, go right now. Yeah. This is the time. Everybody comes to me in a crisis. No one comes to me because they're feeling like they've got everything together and they just want to make it better.
Man, I love that. Sky, I know you started Warhammer before Parenthood. Do you find hobbies like that actually help entrepreneurs manage focus better?
Yeah. I think it's really important to have a hobby. I think it's really important to have, especially when your business starts to do well. I think there's a period where you have young kids and you have business, it's hard to do much.
Yeah.
But once it starts to do well, it's really important to have a hobby that you really, that's quite immersive, because you're going to need something immersive to switch over and switch out of that business strategy. So something quite passive can be quite difficult. A lot of people like to do active things, or the Warhammer is, that's a very immersive world. There's lots of pieces to it. You can play the game, you can play with other people. So all of those reasons, it makes it really good. And that would be my thing, is think of something that's more like a project than maybe a traditional hobby, because sometimes that is what we need, because we're quite intense people.
Yes.
If you've started a business, you're probably an intense person. And so you want to do something. I know people who've entered pageants, which is quite interesting, and people who've written books, like things that are different, but still in that same vein.
And that's really powerful. I played a ton of video games in my time as well. Mass Effect being one of those games. And I never really got into the MMO games because it was like, I didn't spend that much time, and it was different timings. Mm-hmm. But I do love this TV show called Mythic Quest. And I don't know if you've seen it.
I've watched it.
Absolutely wonderful. And I believe Poppy, I think she's got a little accent. And it's really weird. Like when the first time I heard her speak, I'm like, why do you have an Australian accent when you look Asian? It's really funny. Sky, this has been an eye-opening two-part journey from focus and prioritization to sustainable growth and mental health. You've really helped me reframe what it means to build a business as an ADHD entrepreneur. Now, what's funny is that today was a sixth grade graduation for my wife's nephew. So after I picked up my kids from school, my wife's, hey, what are you doing? Come over here. I'm like, no, I've got a 4 o'clock recording to do. But what has really worked for me is if I put something on my calendar and then I'm keeping myself accountable, and somebody else is keeping me accountable to make sure that I get the tasks done. But if there's nothing on my calendar, I just like to do everything. How does somebody take the time to say, okay, I'm going to focus on working on this thing and make sure that these things are moving along forward?
It's a really good point. If you have an EA or an assistant, getting them to put things in your calendar can be really helpful once you've established the boundaries of what you want at certain times.
Yeah.
If you have to put things in your calendar, I would say the step into focus routine is always there for you, even on tasks that don't feel like they need it.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, if it's a task you don't want to do, that is where I talk about the step into focus routine. In my business, we take dopamine very seriously. We take rewarding very seriously because for a lot of people, it's the thing that's stopping them from going where they need to go is their feeling of like, can't do that because it will feel bad. Or like what everyone else doesn't need a reward and then you're still stuck not doing the thing. So what we want to focus on instead is we really want to give yourself a reward. And in some cases, I actually recommend that people go as far as to write the reward into the calendar instead of the task. Put the task in the notes, start with the reward, because then when you look at your calendar, it says, sit down, watch a YouTube video, have a snack. That sounds pretty good.
No, it does sound really good. And I think it also depends on the time of the day, right? Because the later in the day, something you have to do, the harder it is to motivate, stay disciplined.
Yes. It's that energy management thing that we've talked about.
Yeah. Sky, thank you so much for coming on. This was really powerful. I learned so much. And I can't wait to implement the Step Into Focus system and methodology that you've shared. And we'll be sure to continue to work on ourselves because that's the best thing that you can, but that's the best thing that we can all work on. Sky, where can people connect with deeper with you?
Yeah, so you can find me at Unconventional Organization. You can DM me Hobby, and I will send you the 2-minute focus formula. So go ahead and do that. It's also great just to meet you and chat. And then if you want to go to our website, it's at unconventionalorganization.com. So just unconventionalorganization.com. And you can find there, I have a podcast called the ADHD Skills Lab, where I talk more about ADHD. I have articles. And if you want to join my program, it's called Focus Balanced Growth. We work alongside other entrepreneurs. We actually build some of these systems for you so that you can get time back straight away. And yeah, it's a really good time. Select group of people. So if you'd like to apply for it, then you can do so at the website.
That's so powerful. Thank you so much. Now, the one thing that I was leaning towards and something that I follow myself very closely is something called human design. And human design is it essentially tells you which energetic type you are. And I was, as we were having this conversation, it occurred in my mind, like, hey, I got to know this question and I got to ask, hey, if there's any correlation between ADHD and human design and if you've ever heard of that before.
I've never heard of that. I've heard of human design a little.
You somehow lost your audio.
Oh, sorry. Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I would say I've heard of the term human design, but never heard about it in relation to ADHD.
Okay. The reason I like to know, because we talked about ADHD and how you discovered ADHD in yourself, it's almost like a missing manual. That you were you were missing a manual. Here's what something might be. And human design is actually the manual for most people. It basically tells you who you are the day you were born. And we don't really deviate too much far from when we were born. And because it focuses on energy, it focuses on the energetic types. If you haven't, I was like, I want to know if there's any correlation, because I'm a projector myself. I'm consistent with low energy. I depend on other generators for that energy. So I'm always looking for that dopamine hit, because we don't, being 20% of the population projectors are, we don't have our own generator. So, and if you've probably heard, 70% of the human population are generators, and they're the one that are keeping the energy going in the world.
Yeah. We're definitely in the minority, but we make up a lot of the entrepreneurs. A very high percentage of entrepreneurs have ADHD, whether they have diagnosed or whether they don't have diagnosed or even subclinical ADHD. And so this is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about working with business owners, because we have cool goals and I want to help us get there, but we just need the right strategies.
Sky, I think we need to work on this project and the research, essentially figuring out, hey, what is the correlation between ADHD and energetic types? Because you'll find a lot of similarities. You'll find a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And we could probably go deeper into that correlation in the next episode. Sky, thank you so much again.
No problem. It's great to be here.
Sky, this was absolutely awesome. Let's wrap it up. Okay, I need to go to my wrap-up script over here. Here. Thank you so much again.
No worries.
All right, hobby hackers, if you've been struggling with consistency, burnout, or shiny object syndrome, oh my God, know this. You don't need to change your brain. You just need better strategy. So check out Sky's Unconventional Organization for the kind of systems that work with your mind, not against it. Until next time, keep creating, keep simplifying, and keep hacking your way to clarity and joy. We'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.